live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Scottish Government says Irish fishermen have never been allowed to fish around Rock Awl. It's been confirmed that applications for prospective mining licences in the Glenfinn area have been withdrawn. There are calls on the Irish Government to announce a funding package for the Northwest. And three motorists have tested positive for driving under the influence of illicit drugs over the weekend in Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Scottish Government says Irish fishermen have never been allowed to fish around Rock Awl. The Scottish Government says its Navy could board vessels to order them to cease and desist if they continue fishing. But Irish officials claim they've a right to be there and will go to the EU courts if Scotland doesn't back down. Sean O'Regan has more.
The UK claimed Rock Awl in 1955, but Ireland, Iceland and Denmark have previously challenged that claim. The rock lies nearly 230 nautical miles northwest of Donegal and 240 miles west of Scotland. Minister for Agriculture Michael Creed says the government is in talks to de-escalate the situation, but he's ready to take action.
In the event of Marine Scotland arresting an Irish boat, then we would exhaust all the legal options available to us to defend our interests and that of those individual fishermen on that basis. So that would mean, obviously, assistance to the individual in terms of legal advice, but also exploring the international forum where we could prosecute our view of this issue.
Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty says if diplomatic avenues fail, Ireland must be ready to deploy Sea Fisheries Protection Agency vessels to protect them. However, the Taoiseach says the Irish Navy will not be sent in. Simon Coveney believes the Scottish Government is making a big mistake, but is adamant that the Irish Government will not escalate the situation. Sean O'Donoghue, CEO of the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation, says the Rock Awl fishery is very important to the Donegal fleet, and whatever happens, local fishermen are not going to back down.
When we were informed about this on Friday, it came as a total shock and a surprise to us, and something we certainly won't accept, because as far as we're concerned, we're legally entitled to be there, and if we are detained or told to leave the area by the Scottish authorities, this is an illegal act and we will defend it to the highest court.
The mood music in talks between Northern Ireland's political parties is better than at any time in the past 2 years. That's according to the Taoiseach as negotiations to restore power sharing resume in Belfast. The latest efforts to bring back a devolved government began on May the 7th after journalist Liam McKee was killed in Derry. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says issues such as Irish language rights and same-sex marriage will dominate the next 2 weeks of talks.
I think the mood music is better now than we've had at any time in the last 2 years. That's not to say it's going to be easy to get some of these issues across the line, but certainly my role and the role of the British government will be to work with political leaders in Northern Ireland to try to find a way to get compromise in these key sensitive areas.
Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty is urging people in the Glenfinn area to remain vigilant to the possibility of new applications for mining licences. It's been confirmed today by the Department of Communications, Climate Action and Environment that formal letters withdrawing applications for prospective mining licences in the area have been received. Deputy Doherty says while this is a welcome development, a strong message still needs to be sent to Minister Richard Bruton that the people of the area remain opposed to mining.
The department has received communication from Great Glen Resources Limited to inform them that they have withdrawn their applications. It obviously comes on the back of hundreds of people turning up at the Glenfinn meeting. So I welcome the fact that this is withdrawn. I would urge the community there to remain vigilant, as we will, because there is no indication yet whether there may be a new application in the future. The deadline which we had of this Friday is now gone because there's no valid application before the department.
The indications were the department would have been minded to grant those licences, and there's nothing to say that if new applications were to come forward, the department wouldn't be of the same mindset. So this may be a reprieve rather than a resolution.
Yeah, I think it's just a time to catch our breath last year and still to remain organised. One of the objectives this morning was to actually reach out to the department and the minister to set up a meeting between myself and other deputies in relation to this. And we got confirmation that the application has been withdrawn. In my view, that meeting still needs to go ahead because we as messengers of the people need to make it very clear to the department and particularly to the minister who gives adjudication and authorisation for these licences, the clear view and the clear opposition of the community of Glenfinn and surrounding areas. So I'm still looking to have words with the minister in relation to that, and I'm sure my colleagues are at this level will also do likewise. And I think it's important that we do remain vigilant. We don't know the reasons why it has been withdrawn, but I do want to commend the community who turned out, who made their voice heard.
Glendee's area councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbug is echoing the need for vigilance, giving this latest development a cautious welcome. He says other agencies, including Donegal County Council, need to look carefully at the issue.
At the end of the day, this is about profit, nothing more. It's not in the interest of our community environment that these companies are coming looking to mine. We've seen the devastation that can be caused. We've seen it in Mayo and in other communities that have driven communities, unfortunately, at times against each other.
Is there anything Donegal County Council can do in the context of the county development plan to prevent this happening in the future? What level of control does the council have over what's done within its boundaries?
Well, look, at the end of the day, this was a decision that would have been from the minister, and as we as a council, we must also be proactive on it. There'd be different viewpoints within the council chamber. At the end of the day, we're here to serve Donegal and the people, and I think that the best thing here is to stand with the community to make sure that if there's other applications applied for, that we're on top of it and that we are opposing it. And it's funny how the government will always say that when there's been profit to be made by big multinational companies that we need to step up to the mark, but yet when we in return ask the government to invest into our communities, they're always found wanting.
The Health Minister says a new deal between the HSE and a US lab will bring stability to the cervical check screening programme. The agreement will see Quest Diagnostics examine new slides. Irish-based Medlab Pathologies will focus on clearing the backlog from last year's controversy, which saw women being forced to wait up to 33 weeks for their results. The HSE hasn't said how much the new deal is worth, but Simon Harris admits it's likely to be more than the last contract. Minister Harris says the deal will ensure the screening programme can continue.
When I talk to women around the country, they say to me, look, it's not actually primarily a concern for me as to where the laboratory is based, but what I want to know is that the laboratory is safe, that it meets all standards, that there's clear governance structures, and that it's been quality assured. We know that in the past some of those things didn't happen. We know that sometimes quality assurance procedures weren't followed, and I'm very pleased that in the new agreement they have been.
Gardaí in Donegal have reissued an appeal to motorists to never drive under the influence. It comes as Gardaí confirmed three motorists were detected driving under the influence of illicit drugs over the course of the weekend. On Saturday, Gardaí from Letterkenny and Buncrana Garda Station stopped three motorists who tested positive for driving while under the influence of illicit drugs. One motorist tested positive for cannabis and cocaine, while the other two tested positive for cannabis. All three are due to come before the courts. There are calls on the Irish government to announce a funding package for the North West. Foreign MP Alicia McCallion is urging the government to support the economic regeneration of the region. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Alicia McCallion says while the commitment of a £105 million funding package from the British government for the City Deal and Inclusive Growth Deal for the North West is a welcome first step, more is needed. She says in particular what's now necessary is for the Irish government to provide financial support as promised to support the redevelopment of the region as a whole. The Foyle MP says she has had a number of meetings with the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach to discuss the need for this funding to help unlock the economic potential of the Northwest region. She believes the Irish government has an important part to play and is now urging the government to make a significant contribution to the Inclusive Growth Deal package.
Following the annual general meeting of Donegal County Council in Lifford on Friday last, the council's five municipal districts will hold their AGMs on Friday morning to elect chairs and vice chairs for the year ahead. The county council's meeting saw the implementation of an inclusive pact under which Councillor Nicholas Crossan was appointed Cathaoirleach and Councillor Niamh Kennedy last Cathaoirleach. Better services for the people of Donegal are being sought, with six new committees being formed to oversee MICA redress, Brexit, fisheries, agriculture, emergency planning and health. Economic development and growth are also at the core of the project. Carnine Orr has more.
In his acceptance speech after being elected at Friday's AGM, Coahuila Councillor Nicholas Crossan said the cornerstone of discussions which led to an all-inclusive pact was cooperation to ensure that Donegal's growth potential is maximised. He said that will be the driving force behind the Council's business in the current term and will also govern the work and relationship between the members and the executive. He said elsewhere in the country, there is sometimes tension between councillors who determine policy and officials who implement it. That, he said, is not the case in Donegal.
As you know, I'm involved with the Independents Together, the National Organisation of Independents. And what I'm hearing is some of the councillors, the support that they're getting is not as good as we get in Donegal. And I said to him that, look, you're an elected representative. You're elected to represent the people who elected you. And you go into your executive and look for those that support. I'd have to say that in Donegal County Council, we are on the opposite side of the spectrum and we are getting as much support as possible from our executive, and I hope that we certainly will keep that and enhance it.
The creation of the six new committees reflecting the issues that came up in the canvass is at the core of the new pact, with all parties saying they want to act on issues that were raised. CEO Seamus Neely says it's very clear that the people are being listened to, and that's to be welcomed.
They're very focused on what they're about. They've obviously taken some time to package and summarise the issues that they have faced on the canvass and to look at how they can respond to that in a policy context within council. I think that's a very positive thing and something we're very much looking forward to engaging with the members on in the weeks and months ahead.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Check out the great range of Father's Day gift ideas for your dad in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy isn't expected to make many changes for tonight's Euro 2020 qualifier with Gibraltar at the Aviva. The visitors are pointless at the bottom of Group D following their first two games and conceded three without reply away to Georgia on Friday. However, none of the registered strikers in McCarthy's squad have scored yet at international level, and he hopes tonight that that provides ample opportunity to change that.
I always think it's nice if you've got a collective squad that want to win the game more than anything else and want to do it collectively, and I think they've proven that. But yeah, if it's a bonus that our centre-forwards, our strikers score the goals, hopefully, I'd be pleased for us and me and the squad and the national team.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see if there's going to be plenty of goals tonight. Captain Seamus Coleman says no matter of the opposition, they have to be focused.
We've got a job to do. We've got to play the game of football. It could be Denmark in front of us tomorrow night. Our approach isn't going to change, or we're not thinking Gibraltar. We should be winning 3, 4, 5. We need to play the game and see where that takes us, but absolutely take nothing for granted. Supporters can presume that it might be an easy game or whatever, but as players, you can never do that.
Kick-off tonight at Lansdowne Road, 7:45. And following Friday's draw in Copenhagen, Denmark are still seeking their first win in the group when Georgia visit the Parkan Stadium. To get at games now, and Donegal will play Cavan in the Ulster final on Sunday the 23rd of June in Clonus, and the rush for tickets will be hotting up in the coming days. The stage is set for a fantastic contest in the Monaghan town as holders Donegal return to the provincial final for the 8th time in 9 years, while Cavan make their first appearance since 2000. Donegal chairman Mick McGrath urging supporters to order their tickets with the clubs as soon as possible.
Tickets will come online once the venue is sorted out and the tickets are printed, and I suppose it'll be sometime towards the middle of this week, to the latter part of the week. And clubs, people that are interested in going should order their tickets through their local clubs. We have 40 clubs throughout the county, so it won't be difficult to get tickets when you order them, I'm expecting it to be a sellout. It will be all ticket, and I would think it will be a full house on the day. People should really go to their clubs. They can also buy them online or in their local supermarkets, but it'd be more benefit, I think, to safeguard your order by ordering them through your clubs.
So if you are thinking of going to the Ulster final, you would need to make your mind up really, really quick, because you need to get your order in for tickets for the game. As we said, Cavan haven't been there since 2001. There'll be a huge interest in the Breffni County, and Cavan supporters will be looking to snap up as many tickets as they can for that Ulster final. So Donegal supporters are asked to but get their order in as soon as they can with the clubs and get out for the Ulster final to support them in yet another decider. And you can, of course, as well buy tickets online too. Armagh GA have issued a statement confirming that midfielder Jareth Oak-Burns was taken to hospital in the wake of Sunday's semi-final replay defeat at the hands of Cavan. Burns was taken off in extra time in the drawn game, looking groggy amid suggestions that he was suffering from concussion, a suggestion denied after the game by team management. He played nearly the full 70 minutes of the replay defeat coming off the pitch before the end, and he was taken to hospital post-match and has since been released. Monaghan will have to get past another Ulster neighbour in the second round of the All-Ireland qualifiers. Having seen off Fermanagh yesterday, Malachy O'Rourke's side have been handed a tough draw away to Armagh in what looks to be the pick off the round two games. Elsewhere, Tyrone will have to dust themselves down from that Donegal defeat in the Ulster semi-final. They're facing into a trip against Longford. Derry are at home to Laois, and league champions Mayo will be away to Down. The other matches see Westmeath playing Limerick, Antrim take on Kildare, and Clare will be away to Leitrim, while Offaly have been drawn against Sligo. All those games will take place on the weekend in 22nd and 23rd of June, the same weekend as that Ulster final. On the golf front, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry and Graeme McDowell have all had a boost in the world golf rankings after their brilliant weekend in Canada. McIlroy, who was an emphatic 7-shot winner of the Canadian Open, has climbed from 4th to 3rd in the world. Shane Lowry's second place finish has seen him move up 10 places to 32nd in the rankings, while Graeme McDowell is now 101st in the world as he climbs 20 places. McDowell, of course, also sealing qualification for the Open Championship. He was desperate to do so, as has of course been played in his hometown.
I knew coming into this run of RBC Canadian, US Open, Irish Open and Scottish Open that there were spots up for grabs every week, and it was just a case of playing well one of those weeks. But I got to be honest, really nice to get the job done the first week so that I can go and enjoy my golf for the next few weeks and get ready for what's going to be a very special week of the Open Championship in my hometown in Portrush. I'm obviously very, very ecstatic to be in the field.
Finally, two former Irish athletic stars will be in Donegal this evening to mark the launch of Patsy McGonigal's new autobiography. Former world champion and Olympic medalist Rob Heffernan and former European champion David Gillick will be the guests of honour at the official launch of Relentless, a race through time which charts the story of McGonigal's life and times. This is an open invitation for the launch, and it takes place at the Fin Valley Centre tonight. Gets underway at 8 o'clock. That's it, Michaela. We're at the Highland Sports Desk tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, planning permission has been granted for a new primary care centre to be constructed in Donegal Town. The four-storey primary care centre and ambulance station at Drumlanagher will be constructed under a public-private partnership following an agreement between the HSC, DHM Developments and Remcol Limited. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says this project formed part of the previous programme for government, and with a great deal of preparatory work already done, he expects construction to begin very soon.
The company Remcol Limited, they will commence the development, I would think, by the end of the year. They will have, as they call it, an ambulance docking station there and staff, GP facilities, primary care. They will have also what's known as CAM, the Child and Adult Mental Health Services, speech and language, all of the services that go with the primary care centre.
In terms of the funding that is in place, there shouldn't be any undue delay in actually having the money there to ensure that this can proceed.
Well, of course, the fact that it's a public-private partnership, it's a matter for the company who are developing this to provide the funding, and then the HSE will lease it back as part of a long-term lease. So the initial capital funding is not a problem at all.
And in terms of staffing?
I'm told that there could be up to 100 or more there, and that would be major for Donegal Town.
And finally in news, Bersinport native Sergeant Paul Wallace has been re-elected to the National Executive of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors. Sergeant Wallace is a crime prevention officer based in Letterkenny Garda Station and is a previous vice president of the organisation. He's represented Connacht Ulster on the executive for the past 10 years. For weather now, sunny spells and occasional showers today. The odd thundery downpour is possible. Highest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees in moderate to fresh northerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty is urging people in the Glenfinn area to remain vigilant to the possibility of new applications for mining licences. It's been confirmed today by the Department of Communications, Climate Action and Environment that formal letters withdrawing applications for prospective mining licences in the area have been received. The Scottish Government says Irish fishermen have never been allowed to fish around Rock Awl. They say its navy could board vessels to order them to cease and desist if they continue fishing. Gardaí and Donegal have reissued an appeal to motorists to never drive under the influence. It comes as Gardaí confirmed three motorists were detected driving under the influence of illicit drugs over the weekend. And there are calls on the Irish government to announce a funding package for the North West. Foyle MP Alicia McCallion is urging the government to support the economic regeneration of the region. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, June the 10th. The death has taken place of Willie McKay, Keelogs, Churchill. Remains are reposing at the residence of his daughter, Rose Marie Bonner, 102 Meadow Hill, Letterkenny. Requiem Mass in St. Columbkill's Church, Glendowen at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, followed by burial in Temple Douglas Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Brindley Manor Patients Comfort Fund, care of Charlie McLaugherty, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Bernie O'Donnell Strigali Clohan. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral will leave her home at 10:30 on Wednesday morning, going to the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Glenfinn, for 11 o'clock Mass, with burial afterwards in Kilwara Cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred off Alicia Kelly, Tara Mudge, Clarham Bridge, Galway and formerly Golf Course Road, Letterkenny. Alicia's remains will repose at her parents' home, Kay and Kevin Kelly's, Golf Course Road, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Funeral from there on Wednesday afternoon, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations of wish to Cancer Care West, care Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Neely Nancy Gallagher, Ballantra, Armour Island. His remains are reposing at his home, Rosary, at 9 o'clock tonight, with House Private Pleas afterwards. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Cronus Church, Armour, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Doherty, Mahara Clogher, Bombeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass at St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg, with burial afterwards in Mahara Gallan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock, house private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Friends of St Luke's Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Cathy McKenna, Kinnegar Road, Rathmullen and formerly of Moor Village, Inishman and Antrim Town. Her remains will repose at her home in Rathmullen from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. House private, please. Family, neighbours and friends welcome. No flowers, please. The death has taken place of Ellen Nellie McDermott, née Mooney, 136 Donnybow Road, Dunamana, and formerly of Carndonna. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahi Brac, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Bridget Diver, Cashel, Glentoher, formerly of Killigordon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m.
and the death has taken place of Mary Montgomery, Church Street, Remelton, remains a reposing at her home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Bramley time from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Remelton Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, Kev Sweeney, Funeral Directors.